The Right to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. Brought to you by Big Barker. Therapeutic dog beds. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. If you go to that link, you will also get the process pup patches. Mortgage CS. Become a Mortgage CS Ricky VIP at mortgagecs.com/Ricky. And Body Bio. Get 20% off any Body Bio order with promo code Mike's Tummy at bodybio.com. And finally, Kinetic Skateboarding, that get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, Sixers drop game two to the Knicks in just excruciating fashion. Pretty excruciating, if I'm being completely honest. And that is what the show is about today. Kinetic Skateboarding, not excruciating. Kinetic Skateboarding is awesome. Been posting a lot of sneakers lately, a lot of Nikes. A lot of Vans. Actually, I haven't seen a ton of Vans. A lot of New Balance that you're not going to find anywhere else. The best thing to do for you would be to go to kineticskateboarding.com. And if it's the first time you've ever ordered for them, please use code DaveSilver, as it will give you 9.1% off your first order. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef. Welcome to the Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin along with Mike Levin. And here we are, another crushing playoff loss in new fashion. Haven't seen one loss that way. So I don't know. We will talk about the game. Overall, Embiid can barely move. Maxey came through at the end. There are certainly bunch of different things we can talk about, but it comes down to they tried to inbound the ball. Maxey fell down. He thought he was going to get a foul call. They couldn't get an offensive rebound. DiVincenzo hit a shot. They lost the fucking game. A lot of little stuff, but just with Embiid at 50% or whatever, and nothing from anybody else, pretty literally, besides Maxey and Embiid, they just could not get over the hump.
They did another game of doing, for the most part, really good at limiting them in transition and then half-court defense.
Yep.
And just trying to keep them out of transition. And they just kind of over and over again got beaten in transition because they have a really hard time matching up on shooters. They just sort of run to the ball like a soccer game of four-year-olds. And that kept the Knicks in the game while Brunson was shooting, you know, for a while. He was up to 8 of 29, but he was like, I mean, that's bad. 8 of 29 is bad. They're just a slower team. They're the weaker team. They're the less athletic team. They play with less of an edge. And when the refs stop calling fouls at the ends of games, the Knicks are tougher on the glass, and they go get that ball. And the Sixers got the ball ripped out from them a bunch of times when they should have had it. And, the Kyle Lowry, or sorry, the Jalen Brunson bounce straight up to go in.
Kawhi-esque.
Was obviously torturous in several dozen ways. This shit happens. They should have won this game. They should have won last game. They cleaned up a lot of stuff in this game.
They did.
Played well, despite the fact that they, we're both limited. Maxey sick earlier today, questionable coming in. Embiid looking really good in the first half, a lot better than I expected. And then as the game went on, looked worse and worse and stopped being able to, started hesitating again, mm-hmm. started drawing defenders, not making them pay, turning it over, His knee's bothering him. He's not attacking rebounds. I think they only had like 2 offensive rebounds in the first half, something like that. And they finished the game with 12. It felt like that's because Joel just stopped being able to box out or just didn't make the effort to box out on a couple of those plays.
Well, he looked like, for what it's worth, I mean, in the first half, he looked pretty good. In the second half, and they were mentioning it on the broadcast a bunch, he looked like he could barely, I mean, he was, a lot of times when people have limps, when they have injuries, they can run and the sort of like the limp will go away. But for him, it was pretty pronounced the entire time. Like he truly looked like he couldn't, I'm not Joel, injury excuse guy, but he looked like he couldn't move in the second half at all. You know,
getting yeah, and then down the stretch, they you know Maxey took over, and it was you know the fadeaway to give him the lead. I love the play where he was ISOing on Hart and sort of like picking his spots, looking for it, thinking about it. He gives it to Joel, and then Hart helps a little too much, which always kills me when it happens to the Sixers. And so I seeing the Knicks do it was like thank you for helping onto Joel, who's not right. Joel makes the pass to Maxey. He steps into a 3 for a 4-point lead. Maxey ended up having, I think, 15 points in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, down by 1 because Lowry missed those 2 free throws, which hurts.
Which, by the way, it feels like this entire season they've literally made every free throw.
Yeah.
Every free throw. And then Joel comes out and misses 4 in the first quarter. Lowry misses... If you had asked me for guys that I would feel confident in a clutch free throw situation in a playoff game on the team, Lowry would have been pretty high up on my list.
Yeah. You know? And you get into these playoff games and every fucking point matters. And that's why like those free throws matter. That's why it was such an advantage during the season. That's why like calling a technical foul on Joel was like it's just such a fucking bad thing to do. And that guy should be fired and maybe sent to a different country. Like, this is just ridiculous. What do you think your fucking job is, man? You're such a fucking loser. I hate refs so much.
Well, also, by the way, Embiid needs to, I agree with you, but Embiid needs to not push a guy in the middle.
Of course, but he's walking into him. He's baiting him into it. Like, of course, Joel can do nothing. He can be a saint. But, like, the game is physical. The game gets intense. They're trying to bait you into stuff. And the refs are just like, I'm successful. You did it. This is what it's about. I've restored order in this game. Just fucking losers, man. But good job by Hartenstein to block Maxey's shot. I mean, that's a shot we talked about for weeks and weeks, months, season, all the time, about how Maxey gets that ball up quicker than anybody else can. And he was shot out of a cannon full court. And just by a fingernail, Hartenstein blocks the shot and comes down with it.
I honestly, I watched it 5 times to see if it hit the backboard before he blocked it. Because I honestly cannot remember anybody blocking his shot like that before. I mean, it was an awesome block by Hartenstein, as you said, because
he's a good player. He's long, he's mobile. He was the only one that was, I mean, he was 7 of 8 from the field. That was the difference in the second half, was him hitting those floaters over Joel. I mean, Brunson wasn't good again. Like, he wasn't good. He's going to hit those shots sometimes, but like, he took 29 shots in this game.
By the way, they defended him well.
They defended him great. I mean, Oubre did a great job on him for the most part. Tobias did a great job on him for the most part. Like, their offense sort of devolved into just everybody else standing around while a small guard isolated against a bigger wing defender. And I like that. I'm happy with that. They just got a rebound and they just didn't rebound. And a couple of really bad bounces and some lack of toughness on the offensive glass and, you know, some calls that you obviously wish you would have had, that I can be upset about and certainly was. But they cleaned up for the most part until Joel started looking worse. They cleaned up the rebounding stuff. You could see it was a point of emphasis. You know, everybody was putting a body on somebody.
Yeah. By the way, a quote from Nick Nurse about the end of the game. This on the in, but the cursed.
He's already talking. Oh my god! I can't fucking. I would be in the locker room just laying.
The cursed inbound pass. Well, I'll tell you right after I talk to you about a Big Barker Therapeutic dog beds. Look, you might not sleep well. And you may never sleep again, actually, but your dog will, because your dog smartly does not give a fuck about the Sixers. As your dog sleeps, your dog should sleep on a bed that supports his joints so your dog can stay healthy and not miserable, can wake up happy in the morning and not miserable like you will tomorrow. To do that, get your dog a Big Barker, bigbarker.com/Ricky. If you go to bigbarker.com/Ricky, you get two patches that say Process Pup on them. Sweet design, black and white patch and red, white and blue patch. You get a couple of stickers. You put the patches on the bed if you'd like. But more importantly, you get a bed that is engineered by experts to keep your dog healthier. Your dog's joints will stay healthier because he's sleeping on a, he or she is sleeping on a good bed. Makes a difference. Makes a difference for you, would make a difference for the dog. And your job as a dog owner, as a dog parent, is to give your dog the happiest, healthiest life possible. Not here for a long time, right? Not here for a long time. Make it great. Don't cheap out on the fucking bed. Get a real bed. And it's called Big Barker, but they have beds that are good size for any dog, from the Barker Jr. for tiny little dogs to the extra large Big Barker for giant dogs. You will be happy. Whatever color, whatever configuration, whatever size your dog is, your dog's going to be happier, healthier by sleeping on a Big Barker, even proven by a study at PenVet. A 10-year warranty, the foam doesn't flatten or they replace it for free, a 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, you can get a refund and they will even pay for the shipping. It is handmade in the USA. I'm not going to make Mike Park on this pod. Big Barker dog beds. Bigbarker.com/Ricky. So the quote from Nick Nurse, this about the cursed inbound pass that you'll be thinking about for weeks and weeks and weeks. I called timeout. The referee looked right at me and ignored me. Tyrese Maxey got the ball. I called timeout again. He ignored me again. Then the melee started. This is Nick Nurse.
So he called timeout before the inbounds.
Before the inbound, and then called the timeout again when Maxey had the ball, he claims.
I mean, just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And Maxey's getting grabbed. I just, you know, looked at it again. Maxey's jersey is getting grabbed. And it's just like, you just can't swallow your whistle there, dude. You can't, it's,
I mean,
they lost the game, but like when these little ticky tack bullshit, like the Knicks are the more physical team and it, that is when the refs just decide that they're going to watch. Yeah, I don't think like when I talk about refs, I don't talk about it in the sense of like there's a conspiracy against. I think that's pretty ridiculous.
Not that it's
when,
like
when
fixed.
Fans do that. I think like Lakers fans, Knicks fans, Celtics fans, everybody, especially when like the powerhouse teams do it. It's like, who do you think? What do you think the league wants? Like, you think they're going to say like we need the Cavs. We need the Cavs to advance. But it's just like it's just them failing in a big spot and not calling it even and not having balance and not knowing like the situation. That's what frustrates me. And so like they decide to swallow the whistle the whole time. And obviously the Knicks got the right bounces and the Sixers didn't do enough to do it, but you know, that's why they fucking lost. And it's really, really frustrating. They should be up 2-0 in the series.
And they should, it should at least be 1-1 with this one, you know, like up 4 with 47 seconds left. This one they should have had. The rebounding thing, you know, Joel didn't, I don't think, had a rebound in the second half. They are outmanned from a rebounding perspective, even when everybody's healthy. When he can't rebound, they're going to have, I mean, it's almost a problem that's impossible to solve. I don't think, you know, like they don't have the personnel if the biggest guy on the court isn't going to get a rebound in the second half. I don't blame him for it. I don't think he's physically able at this point, but like that's a war that they cannot win if Embiid can't rebound.
Yeah. Especially if Nurse is going to stick with these 8 guys. I mean, he talked about possibly playing B-ball and Embiid at the same time in the first half, didn't need it. The rebounds were cleaned up fine. But like once Joel was very clearly, inhibited, that should have been an option. You know, Oubre did not play well offensively or on the glass. He only had 2 rebounds and he didn't finish the game. It was Batum in there to not go to, I still think it was a mistake to not go to Ricky Council at any point. I mean, they're the slower, less athletic, less physical team. And you can say, all right, point of emphasis, we're going to put a body on guys and make it hard on them going at the glass. But that can't sustain itself over 48 minutes when the Knicks are just like leaning on you and being the more physical team. They are. I mean, they're more athletic, they're bigger, they're longer. And it felt like in the first half, like Joel was taking it personally. It's an embarrassment. Obviously he knows he's hurt. Everybody knows he's hurt, but like he should feel him. He should feel a little bit. I mean, not he should, but he would. He does feel responsible and embarrassed that they got 23 offensive rebounds on him last game. And so it felt like in the first half, you know, Embiid had 5 offensive rebounds in the first half. It felt like that was him proving that he can do this also. But over the course of a 48-minute game,
he doesn't have it.
Just not enough. And nobody else was there to fight with them. I thought Tobias played pretty well on the glass, but not enough. I mean, just not enough in the times where it mattered.
Yeah, I mean, they, for a team that is built well, you know, built for around Embiid, that they have gotten, save for an exception here and there and a moment here and there, they've gotten almost nothing out of anybody else besides Maxey and Embiid in the first two games of this series. Oubre has looked pretty clueless, honestly. Disappointing. Offensively sure. Clueless. Yeah. They need those guys. They need some of those guys to do something. Tobias, we've talked about, we'll talk about to the end of time. I didn't expect Oubre to look as clueless as he's looked on offense. Buddy Hield has been, you know, Daryl said he was the best player traded at the deadline. And if so, that is a bad statement for this deadline because
he couldn't get anywhere with Dante DiVincenzo on him. That was like total clamps. Like there's nothing he could do. And they tried to get him involved in action. And it's just like, he took a contested three and it's just like, no, he's just not, he can't play at this speed. Like he's just not a guy that can play at this speed when, unless they're like doubling off him and he gets easy catch and shoot stuff. And there was one time when he was wide open for a catch and shoot and Tobias missed him. Just didn't see him and took it contested two instead, which was really frustrating. But
I was a little, he said before the, I mean, this is where we are right now. He said before the game that he expected with Maxey not feeling well to play campaign. Yeah. I was a little surprised we didn't see any campaign. He's certainly a guy that has, I know this sounds crazy, has played well in the playoffs before, for Phoenix is certainly not scared of anything. I was surprised we didn't see anything. He's obviously small and they can pick on him on defense, but I was surprised we didn't see anything from him. I just offensively, they cannot win if they don't get anything out of anybody.
Well, the Knicks didn't get anything out of anybody else. It was just off of like transition or wide open Josh Hart threes. Like that's all that they had. It was Jalen Brunson ISOing. That's why he shot 29 times. As far as like whose offense I would trust more in the half court, it's absolutely the Sixers. But they're just not limiting the other opportunities for the Knicks enough. I think both of these teams are a little bit like, we don't have many other ideas on how to score against a set defense. And I thought sometimes the Knicks made it easy by sagging off of Maxey. And sometimes he was just hitting crazy step backs. He was 5-11 from deep. He had 35 points on 22 shots. He almost had a triple double. Like he was awesome.
Maxey was awesome,
man. Unbelievable to be this sick. 44 minutes. Guys, unreal. He like absolutely showed up. Like you are a true, like first division number two option. Like he's legit and he should be here forever. But they should have been up a lot more in the first half.
Yeah.
The Sixers just let them creep into it. A couple like annoying Brunson grifting foul calls that I don't think he deserved. And then Josh Hart hit shots and we don't have to do the same thing again, but like Josh Hart is, you know, hitting shots in the series because he's a really good basketball player and he's a gamer. And when he knows like your plan is to sag off him and let him have all time in the world to take those shots, he will find a way to hit them in rhythm. And he's done it. And that's part of the reason why they are 0-2 right now.
Well, I mean, they chased him off the 3-point line in the fourth and ended up with an open Dante DiVincenzo three, which is the choice that you're usually going to take Hart, and Hart did brick a wide open one in the fourth by, you know, 10 inches, that ended up short. We don't need to belabor it, but I don't question their strategy on that. You know, they played well enough defensively, I thought, overall to win the game. They were too challenged offensively, and they for a team that ended up that got something. I'm truly disappointed in just about nothing out of Oubre. You know, I'm truly disappointed in just about nothing.
Offensively. He offensively. Did play pretty well defensively.
Yes, offensively. There was one, I don't know who
it was
left
Maxey.
Him.
They were confused on a switch.
Okay. What, where he was like in the, was it DiVincenzo? I forget
yeah,
who it was.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's like part of like, he's just not that like quick of a thinker on the court. And that kind of mitigates his length and athleticism advantage. But like, as far as following Brunson around, Oubre, Batum,
they all did pretty
Tobias,
well.
Like all did a great job. They all did a great job on him. They made it hard for him to catch the ball a lot, especially late. I mean, Brunson's only three was on the one that bounced straight up in the air and went right in. Like, I just can't believe that would happen again. I'm not removed enough where I'm ready to joke about it. The fact that it happened again, but yeah, they just didn't look. It all matters. There was the Pelicans Thunder game was in the 90s. Like that, this is playoff basketball. It's not the games. Most games aren't going to be in the 120s anymore. They're playing tough. The defenders are in. None of the fucking sieves are out on the court anymore. And the fact of the matter is, like, I understand the thought of saying, okay, we're gonna make you make Josh Hart miss shots. Like, that's the plan. But they're also smart. He knows. Like, there's a difference between like making him think. You want to make him think about it. And if like there was one possession where Lowry like did close out on him and was like close enough to make him think, but not so far away that he can get in rhythm to it. And I think that there's a middle ground between, okay, we're okay with Josh Hart taking these shots, and we roll out the red carpet for him to do so and go like, go ahead at your own pace, my friend. Like, and I just think sometimes it was too easy, too much time. He's a good basketball player. He played 48 minutes. He was in a rhythm. He's always been a good free throw shooter. I just trust, if he was on my team, I would trust him to hit those shots. And I would say, thank you for letting him do that. Thank you for letting him get into a rhythm. And when he doesn't feel comfortable doing it, he's going to get ahead of steam and get all the way to the rim. And he's a really good finisher in transition. I mean, he was 4-7 from three, but he hit one that was like toe was on the line. So he was really 5-8 from outside shots. And I mean, yeah, sometimes the shots are going to go in, sometimes there aren't, but I just think like you're playing good enough one-on-one defense with Brunson that you don't need to.
But it wasn't one-on-one defense.
Well, it wasn't one-on-one defense because there was Embiid back there. But
remember,
and that's when like Hartenstein started hitting those floaters. It was because Embiid was rotating over to Brunson, and then Hartenstein got the ball in position where he could get his like, you know, little 6-foot push shots, which you know, obviously good for him to fucking hit that. But it wasn't like they were doubling Brunson and getting the ball out of his hands.
No, but I guess my point is that the action that the Knicks use a lot is just sort of like a pick and roll with Brunson, whoever is playing center. And I think the object was to keep, because Embiid is so limited physically, is to keep him out of that action. And I think if you are not cheating off of Hart the way that, look, of all the guys on the court, aside from the center, if you have to pick one of these guys, it's not DiVincenzo, it's not Anunoby, it's Hart. That's the guy that you're doing it. And I think that the fact that Embiid is so limited physically puts them in a bad position with the Knicks running the offense that they normally run. I do. Like, now, obviously, he hit the shots. So fuck me, he hit the shots. But I think to a certain extent, they have to pick what they would like to happen. Like, of all the things that they want to happen, they have to like sort of pick their poison, and that's the one that they picked, you know. And it didn't work for the second straight game, but I don't know how else they play it, because I don't think you can just guard Brunson straight up one-on-one. I don't think that's something they can do. I don't think anybody can. He fucking scored 40 points a game the last 2 months of the season. You know, he's a tough guy to guard. And I think part of why they were able to limit him is the fact that there was help there. It's not really.
For sure. I'm not saying there wasn't any help, especially Embiid back there was showing a lot of help. But like, so much of what Brunson has done this season and is in his career is hitting those like tough mid-rangers with like little step back moves. And the Sixers, they don't have much athleticism to jump with Josh Hart and Anunoby and DiVincenzo, but they do have enough size and length to bother him enough on those tough little sidestep step backs and stuff. And obviously he hit some of them, but making him work for those over time, when he plays 40 minutes in a playoff series that physically and has to switch on to Maxey on pick and roll, they're going to tire his legs out. And he hasn't shot well in those games. It's a sliding scale to me, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I think they could slide it a little bit further into, all right, let's continue to have Oubre and Batum and Tobias covering him a little bit more straight up, with Embiid showing some help, but not leaving so much, you know, giving Josh Hart a, you know, take any shot you want ticket. And through two games, he's hitting more than enough to make the Sixers second guess that strategy.
The Right's Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Mortgage CS, your only choice. Well, certainly you have lots of choices, but your best choice for a mortgage broker if you go to buy a new home. They are independent. MortgageCS.com/Ricky. MortgageCS.com/Ricky. That's where you go. Learn about them. Set up a phone consultation, a Zoom consultation, whatever you want. I'm going to tell you. You learn about them. Independent is important because you know they're working for you and only you. Responsive and available is important because you never know when you're going to need a question asked. You don't ever know when you're going to need a pre-qualification letter. They're always going to be available. But most importantly, right now, competitive housing market, really, really, really competitive. And a lot, I remember when I bought my house 3 years ago. There's, you know, Mike just bought a house. There's 15 people that put in bids and seven of them are over asking and some of them are lots over asking. How do you get your bid picked? Well, Mortgage CS is going to help you. They'll give you tips on how to bid competitively. They're going to call the listing agent when your bid is in. Part of getting your bid accepted is the seller knowing that the mortgage is going to go through, that they're actually going to get the money. Mortgage CS is going to help you with that. They've got a great reputation, which is also going to help you get picked. And they're always there, always available. I'll give you Ben, the CEO's cell phone number. Ben's cell phone number is 267-391-7425. That is 267-391-7425. If you'd like to learn more, go to mortgagecs.com/Ricky. You can see the amazing little microsite they set up for us. Everybody who has every Ricky person who's gone to Mortgage CS has reported back to us, has always been amazing. And I'm so glad that they treat our listeners with such respect. Again, if you don't trust me, Google Mortgage CS, read all the 5-star reviews. There's hundreds of them. They're all 5 stars. Mortgage CS, mortgagecs.com/Ricky. This advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS 1464766. Visit mortgagecs.com/Ricky for more information.
Yeah, I just watched the play again. He's very clearly calling timeout both before the inbound.
Oh, really?
And as Maxey's on the ground, he should have ran onto the court, honestly, and just like stopped play by calling a timeout.
That's that frustrating.
It's just like
there's nothing you can do about it. Is there anything we can do about it?
We can be a whiny upset. Pretty good. Yeah. Tom Haberstroh tweeted that it's 2024. Coaches should have timeout buttons. I don't disagree with that.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it amazing? What are you looking at? What are you watching for? Like, he's called timeout. It's just ridiculous.
Isn't it amazing the combination of replay high tech and sort of like old school human?
Yeah.
That of all things, you have to get the ref's attention.
In all the sports, the fact that like NFL spots are come down to like some guy on the sidelines going like about here.
Yep. And then there's a chain.
Give or take, get the chain, guys. It's all very above board.
My favorite one is actually, okay, you're watching baseball. There's a box on the screen that shows exactly whether it's a ball or a strike. How do we call whether it's a ball or a strike? Well, take a fat guy, older, probably in his 60s, put a mask on him, have him stand behind the catcher, and have him tell you whether it's a ball or a strike, whether it's in the box. So,
Maxey played awesome. Maxey played awesome.
He played awesome. Like, it was a weird third quarter for him. Maybe he was just conserving energy. He sort of like disappeared. Maybe he was trying to get Embiid going. I couldn't figure out where he was in the third quarter. But and CJ, have you seen anything about Lowry who looked hurt at the end of the game? Nothing about
that. Looked
Lowry
to me like a cramp.
Okay.
That was just a guess based on how he was moving. Yeah, I mean, he had 10 assists. I think he had 9 pretty early in the third. Like, he was just really just... He started off the game with 3 threes. He was seeking it out. I thought he played really good defense on kind of everybody. I can't say enough about the fucking floater, man. His floater's so good. When the D's not set, they just can't imagine it going in, and it always does. He's got such beautiful touch on that floater from such different spots on the floor. He went isolation on pretty much anybody who wasn't Deuce McBride or Anunoby. Yeah, I mean, I love him attacking off in transition off of the long rebounds that the Knicks are trying to like collapse for. That's a good way of leveraging, you know, their choice of going after rebounds with the, you know, result of him going the other way with it. I thought he did a great job of distributing, touching paint, kicking out, finding Joel on pocket passes. I mean, some of those dribble drives late were crazy. The brings him out and then blows by him with like crazy touch. It was really beautiful. I thought he just, this was a beautiful game. It would have been a pretty iconic one if he hit a three there, or if they just rebounded,
or if
the
they
ball,
just won the game,
or if they call the foul or any of that.
Or honestly, really if nice. He, I mean, it was a, I understand it was a scramble that there was a lot of chaos, but when he falls down with the ball, instead of trying to pass it out,
just hold on to it
and call timeout.
Well, yeah, I mean, Nurse was calling it, but yeah, Maxey should have called it too, for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Quote from, this is per Kai Carlin from Joel Embiid. We should be 2-0. We're good. We're going to win this series. We know we got to fix it. We did a better job today. We're going to fix it, but we're the better team.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, I was not optimistic coming into this game. I thought that it could have been, especially Joel not looking right, could have been really blowout situation second game after sort of a heartbreaking game one loss.
I think they're going to win game three, by the way.
I don't fucking know.
I'm not, it was a crushing loss, but like, I am not ready to concede the series at all. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm not like those. No, I mean,
it's not crazy. The Knicks took care of home court. The Sixers have to do the same, but it's just like, they don't look good enough. You know, this, you see like every, you know, Batum and Lowry each had a couple threes. That was huge. Every one of them feels like a breath of fresh air. But the Knicks just have more guys that can do stuff. And without Melton, the Sixers don't have that many guys that can both hit threes and get all the way to the rim and defend. And you know, every like Deuce McBride tough two was a backbreaker. Obviously Josh Hart, Hartenstein's fucking floaters were crushing. The fact that they multiple guys got to the line, they just everything sort of just burned. Every little one was just like, we're doing such a good job containing Brunson, and you just need some other guys to miss shots or not have as many quite easy looks. But not all of them were easy looks. Like some of them were fucking hard. Some of them were tough shots, and they just went in. But for Embiid to look as hurt as he did in the second half and still play as well overall, he was still great. I mean, still plus three. Obviously, it's always going to happen. 34, 11, and 6. He's only,
by the way, that only
three,
means that they were minus 4 while he was off. So they, right? Because
minus 6. It was
minus 6.
So by 3.
That's fine.
It was,
they did
it was really just a stretch because the first half, the non-Embiid minutes were even. And then the second half, it was a stretch. And I really didn't know what they were doing. The defense seemed like really, really, without the Knicks doing anything at all, they seemed like they were scrambling and playing almost like shorthanded or something. Yeah, I loved B-Ball's tip. And one was nice, but like, it'd be nice if he got like, it's tough because it's such a short amount of time and you're just like, hey, B-Ball, you're in for 3 minutes. Like fucking do a lot.
Get 6 offensive rebounds.
Yeah. You're the only one that's going after rebounds. Like you gotta, can you fucking do it? And that was tough. Like even like Mitchell Robinson splitting free throws and he's a 40% free throw shooter. Like all that stuff matters. And it's just like every point fucking matters. And the Knicks are a team that play a lot more hungry than the Sixers do. And some of that is athleticism and some of that is mindset. And some of that is just the fact that like the Sixers are, you know, a little lackadaisical. They're not always lackadaisical. They didn't play the first half or most of the first half lackadaisical, though they should have been up by more. But there's a couple times when you're like, oh, somebody else has got that rebound. And the Knicks never do that. The Knicks are always getting that fucking rebound. And the Sixers too often are sort of just going like, we're okay. It's somebody else's problem. And I think that's why I really deeply am clamoring for Ricky Council to just go be a fucking strong 6'6 athletic dude that can steal you a couple possessions or get hot going to the line or make piss somebody off or get in somebody's way. I just feel like the 15 Buddy Hield minutes, I didn't think he was too bad defensively, and I understand what he was trying to do offensively. It's not like he was like making a lot of mistakes, but he's just not fast enough or big enough to get his shot off, and he's not getting a shot off, then what's he doing?
Yeah, you're right. He's a shooter. It's like, it's wild that I don't disagree with you that he was fine defensively and all that stuff, but we got him because he's the second best three-point shooter of all time, and he either won't shoot threes or misses them. It's he hasn't had a three in two games.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy, man.
It's tough, and the team just like at the end of the day is just I've spoken so lovingly about Kyle Lowry and Nico Batum, but like there's no way that a really good team should be depending on them for 67 minutes.
You're right.
In this situation, and Batum is, you know, borderline Jimmy Butler flip the switch level for shooting threes. Like he's confident in doing it. He knows he has to, and they're going in and it feels great. I thought Batum, he had one play where he contested a drive. I think it was Brunson. He knew that the pass was going to come to the corner and he got out while contesting the drive and then contested the corner three and forced a Bogdanović miss. He's just awesome. I love him. But like when you have two guys who have really no in-between game in Batum and Lowry right now, and Batum is not even a threat to shoot at the rim. Lowry will at least like scoot to for a quick layup or something. It's just, that's why you're seeing so much Lowry and Maxi Embiid and Oubre doing very little. Obviously he's at the minimum, but like we depended on him a lot this year, and in a matchup where he's our best athlete to get anywhere, and he just got outclassed on that end by defenders that wanted it more. It was tough. But I thought Lowry played great. Like he's always so good around the rim defensively. He always seems to make a play on the ball.
Yes, swiping the ball out on a layup or something like that.
Unbelievable. There's one time he had the play in transition. He strips Josh Hart. Josh Hart got stripped like 18 times in this game around the rim. It was crazy. Lowry flies into the crowd. Is down for a little bit, gets picked up and hugged. Did you see who picked him
up? Tim Thomas.
By former Nova player, former Sixer, former Nick, Tim Thomas. What a crazy thing to happen.
Well,
if Lowry picked up and he was like, oh, hey, and he gave him a hug. And I was like, that was
a
nice little moment that was.
If any player should be there, it is former Nova player, sure. Former Nick, former Sixer, that's Tim Thomas.
He should have to give a speech at halftime. Really. both of Lowry's threes were big. It's just they need another guy. I think they thought that Buddy might be that guy, and it's pretty clear that he is not. And that is good to learn before they give him a bunch of money in free agency, but a tough lesson to learn in this playoff series where if he was a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, a little bit more comfortable getting those threes off, then they're probably 2-0. Should we talk about Tobias?
Yeah. Right after the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by Body Bio. Good news from Body Bio. There's been a couple of products that we've talked about that have been out of stock for Body Bio for a while. And that's good news. I'll tell you why it's in the good news. But Calm is back. Calm is back. If there is any time you ever look, Gut Plus and Calm you're going to need during Sixers playoffs, but Calm you will definitely need. Look, Body Bio is a family-owned and operated supplement company out of New Jersey. And we trust Body Bio. We put the things that they produce into our body. And the reason I trust them is that they take care with every product that they make, that product is absolutely right and is absolutely up to their standards and is absolutely safe for you to consume. And if it isn't, they just stop. They don't ship it out. If one batch is wrong, they stop. They don't ship it out. That's not something that happens with the bigger supplement companies. They have too much on the line. They're not checking every batch the same way that Body Bio is. And it makes me confident in Body Bio. It makes me feel good about them. Calm, you know, Take it for your nerves at night. Take it for your nerves in the morning. All natural. It is back in stock this week. We've mentioned Elite a ton. Elite is your solution to be 100% hydrated. It is just electrolytes. It isn't like these energy, the sports drinks, the purple and blue and orange ones that have artificial flavors and artificial colors and sugar and all that kind of stuff. You don't need that. All you need is pure electrolytes. Put a little in your water in the morning. Put a little in the water in the evening. For me, I had a hydration problem in that I cramped. My feet cramped all the time. My calves cramped all the time. My abs cramped. Started taking Elite, completely went away. Butyrate, the only gut supplement you'll need. Sodium butyrate gets rid of all of those, that gets rid of that bloat, helps you be more regular. What I suggest is just go to bodybio.com and read. Read about their products because they explain everything to you. And we, again, we trust them, put them in our body. You should trust them too. Go to bodybio.com, use code Mike's Tummy, all one word, Mike's Tummy, for 20% off your order. That is bodybio.com, code Mike's Tummy for 20% off your order. Body bio. Tobias, like offensively, a zero, fought for rebounds, fought defensively. I thought, like, you know, there was a story from Chris Haynes that, you know, that Embiid and Maxey and Lowry sort of talked to everybody in a team meeting about basically like giving more and trying harder and all those things. And honestly, look like Tobias sort of like took that to heart in that I did feel like he played hard and he was spacey in the Miami game. He was spacey in game one, but at least he felt like his head was in it tonight.
Yeah. He's still not like an option where you go like, man, Maxey and Embiid are pretty spent and they can't do it all the entire game. Maybe Tobias can get us through like a 3 or 4 minute stretch here. Like that's just not the case against a good team. Like Tobias is such a, okay, you need to survive an early fourth quarter against like the Hornets. Like Tobias is your guy. He's got 7 points in 4 minutes. What a stretch. But he's just not, they're too big and athletic and physical for him. He can't do anything with it. I did think he played pretty well, especially in the first half. Didn't seem like he was thinking too much. It seemed like he was getting downhill a little bit. He made some plays off the driving kick. He had a couple corner threes. The fact that he was 2 of 5 from three was, what a blessing that was. He did show good hands on Josh Hart. He stripped him a couple times. You know, any bucket feels magical at this stage in the game when he's going to show tunnel vision and he's going to have limited balance and he's not going to like outthink the guy guarding him. And he doesn't have that much dexterity to finish in different kinds of ways, but all we needed to do is go in sometimes. And when it goes in, we celebrate. And the first half, it was nice. That offensive rebound, the tip to a Buddy Hield layup was really nice. He won the tip against Isaiah Hartenstein,
which was stunning, by the way.
Had a big offensive rebound in traffic late that Lowry ended up having another offensive rebound in that possession. They I think got to the line out of that. But, you know,
and
he's just so bad off ball defensively. It kills me. Like, he's covering Bojan Bogdanović, one of the best, like, no space catch and shoot guys in the league. And to not get all the way up in him so that he can't get it off, make him drive by you. And instead, he wants to go, like, well, I'm Tobias. If someone gets this close to me, I simply won't shoot it. But he doesn't know that other guys can. And so he gets just close enough where he gets to stand and have a really nice view of Bojan Bogdanović hitting a backbreaking three right in front of him. There's just not, the Knicks don't have that many guys that can penetrate.
No.
Brunson obviously can. And that's the guy.
McBride and Hart.
Josh Hart, not if somebody's standing right in front of him. McBride a little bit, but like, I think even McBride, a couple of those penetrations, it was like Oubre's playing up on him like 28 feet out. And I'm like, just let him try to drive with you, like not giving up an advantage. And it seemed like too easy. They gave up a couple advantages to guys that don't have that many on ball moves, and too easy. They were playing a little too far off a lot of time, mostly in transition, but a couple times just because they're a little slow getting around screens and stuff. Guys that can just catch and shoot. And Boyan's an excellent catch and shoot guy. He kills the Sixers. DiVincenzo, excellent catch and shoot guy. And just like, you got to be closer. And it seemed like the Sixers shots were more smothered than the Knicks shots were. And a couple of those, you know, a couple quicker angles to a ball, angles to a contest. And it's a different story. And obviously all the other shit we already talked about.
The Tobias shooting. I don't know what has happened, but from the corners, it doesn't look so bad. It's from the break or whatever that they look just putrid, you know? I don't know. This fucking thing. I'm glad he hustled. He's supposed to be able to score 20 points a game. So I don't know.
I mean, it's another game where, like, I'd have to look at it more because they are helping at least some, but this Sixers team averaged what? Like 10, 11 steals a game? For a lot of the, I thought they were like leading the league in steals at a certain point. They averaged 8.5 steals a game, led the league, and they had 3 in this game. And they just, if you're not creating much offense in transition, you're not able to score in a variety of ways outside of Maxi and Joel over and over again. It just really limits what you can do. And that's what playoffs are about. Like they're going to take things away from you and make you beat them in the hardest ways possible. But the Knicks, with their offensive rebounding, with their transition game, get easier looks. Maybe not in the half court, but overall they get easier looks. And the Sixers just are not strong or fast or quick enough or big enough to do the same.
It's not the end of the world. It's the last play. I cannot figure out why Maxi just didn't shoot that 3 and why he passed it to Embiid to shoot it with 6 seconds left. I was just expecting a Maxi fucking step back, right?
Yeah,
whenever.
Yeah. No, I wanted it too. Especially Joel's not like a quick off the catch guy. Anyway,
It was a great game for Maxi. There were 2 terrible brain farts at the end of the game. I mean, him not calling timeout when he had the ball, and him not just take, he had 6 seconds when he got the ball to get up the court.
I'm surprised they didn't foul.
Step back. I'm surprised too. Get up the court, step back, shoot the 3. I can't figure out the heater while he was on, why he would do that. I think there's still a little thing ringing in his mind that Embiid is the guy and he's not the guy. I'm glad he came out the way that he came out, but Embiid is not Embiid right now. And he's got I want him to take that shot. And I also want him to hang on to the ball and call timeout. You know,
I agree with you. I would have liked that. Would have liked to have not gotten to that position if the refs had given Nick one of his timeouts or Brunson's 3 that he was 0 of 5 on the night. If that hadn't bounced straight up and right in, or if they didn't bound the ball or if they got a foul or anything. Just a real bummer. I'm getting better at the stages of grief. I'm definitely moving through it pretty fast. Because I remember when the Kawhi shot happened, I was like,
you were bad.
Well, that shouldn't be allowed. We should go backwards. Well, I'm pressing rewind.
You're older and more mature. You're dead.
I'm definitely not. I just think that the Sixers, I've just gotten used to it with how this happens. It's really rough. This is the kind of game. God, that Embiid pass to Maxi on the back cut off the fake dribble handoff was so great.
They should have won this one.
I really think they should have won both. Like 23 offensive rebounds is like, you just, for that to just simply not happen. If they'd given up 19 offensive rebounds, they win that game. Like
they're up 4 with 47 seconds left.
Yeah. Got to do it. And it's just,
Maxi's got to call fucking timeout. Is there anything, do you think any of our sponsors have some sort of application where they can go back to when Maxi was on the ground and have him call timeout?
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel had some really big shots in this game too. And he's going to, he started missing a couple. And in the second half, he really stopped making the good decisions he was making. He was handling doubles so well in the first half, staying calm and finding shooters and not turning it over. And then it seemed like in the second half, there was just like some shot clock, some slow, some like I'm kind of dribbling through traffic a little bit. I thought he did a good job of attacking Mitch Robinson on the move. Mitch was not too much of a threat in this game. It was really Hartenstein that played better. It'd be nice to get one of them in foul trouble and for the other one to be ineffective. That would be a nice, if we can sort of make that happen. But one of the things I pointed out last game and was frustrated by was as his knee got worse over the course of that game one, he was facing up from further away. Mm-hmm. And early in this game, he felt like he was getting lower. It felt like he was in a spot where he could, you know, do a lot with it. And then as the game went on, Hartenstein was really pushing him out, really doing a job of getting into him and underneath him. And that's when Embiid hit the face up one that he got called for an N1, when Hartenstein really just didn't give him any room to land. But those are tough shots. And if Embiid, that's the problem with having your center as your most necessary player on both ends. And I obviously know that Jokic is Jokic. And so it's different, but like, Isaiah Hartenstein's job is just to like, just Joel. It really is like just everything you can do to slow this guy down. And Joel's job is save the team from abyss. And it's just hard to, that gives those kinds of centers, not Hartenstein, but also like a Nick Claxton or something like that. And Joel usually has enough to beat him. But those like effort plays, those 50-50 balls, and that's what makes Giannis so special, is that like he just has so much energy and strength and athleticism to go get that even when he is so much at the focal point. And Joel doesn't quite have that that like extra gear. He hasn't shown it in a big enough moment to have the extra gear to like go get that fucking ball in a way that either like regular centers that aren't depended on for as much, or Giannis, who is obviously god at that, or Jokic, who has such incredible touch on offensive rebounds and positioning. Joel hasn't those little moments. I think if there's, you could really close your eyes and think about like Celtic series from the past and the Toronto series where Marcus Gasol has given him a tough time. A couple, and now obviously here, when you go like, man, the Hawks series where you go, man, like a couple moments here or there, if Joel had just gotten to this ball, if he was a little bit less overtaxed in these other ways, because they had to go to him so much on offense, or he had to clean up so many of his teammates' mistakes on defense. You just wish there's just like a fucking a little bit more in the tank to go get it. But it feels like he's always been on the other side of it. And some of that is bad luck, and some of that is conditioning, obviously, and health and all that shit. But it's a bummer. It's always why I've always said, as much as I do love Joel, if I was starting from scratch, like I would never want in this modern NBA to make my best offensive player a center.
Unless it's Jokic,
who is obviously like, yeah, you know, so good in so many other different distinct ways. And Joel's remarkable and special, but like those little moments at the end, man, you can really close your eyes and see all the fucking times that it was just short.
I can't believe Maxey didn't call timeout when he's laying on the ground.
Yeah.
He choked.
I don't know if that's a choke. He got fouled, they didn't call it. He was on the ground and he's just trying to like survive it and tried to make a pass and it got deflected. It's a tough one. Sixers did have a good bit of news today.
That they won the
four-way tiebreaker. The Sixers
have the 16th pick.
16th pick in the draft. The pick swapped, and now the coin flipped. We did it. Everybody happy. That's going to be fun. I'm once the playoffs are over, I'm really going to be happy about that. Right now, it's not quite there for me. But they got to win. They got to keep Embiid healthy. They got to. It would be really nice if
they're going to win Thursday.
If a cavalry came,
they're going to look. They're going to win Thursday, and when you're down 2-1 with the next game at home, it's a series. They're going to win Tuesday. They are not.
Oh, God.
There's plenty of teams that are down 2-0. They're outclassed by the other team. The Sixers are not outclassed by the Knicks.
No, it's a 50-50 situation.
Yeah.
But the Knicks have just made the right plays to make it happen. The Sixers, per Tim Bontemps, plan to file a grievance with the NBA over the officiating. Over the officiating across the first two games of the series.
Dude, that is loser shit. Don't file a grievance.
That's loser shit. You could say like, hey, I mean, what's a grievance going to do?
Yeah. Well, what if,
can we just get one of our second round picks back?
Wait a minute.
Can you just give us the fucking tampering second round pick back, you son of a bitch?
So the Sixers file a grievance and the NBA goes, grievance granted.
What? You got it.
Actually, you guys won. You're moving on. Like, come on.
Switcheroo. Who cares?
Don't do that shit.
No, I get being upset. I mean, the timeout situation is... That's egregious. Some of those fouls in that moment are very egregious. I do think not because it's just a home whistle. Like, I think the Knicks got a home whistle and hopefully the Sixers get a home whistle. There was just like some ticky tack shit that I really didn't like at all. But the last minute really, really burns.
Hi,
really
Daryl. Burns you. Adam Silver. Me, Joe Dumars, and that other guy that did the interview with Zach Lowe about the officiating, we were just looking at your petition. Your petition is granted.
You got it. The series is now 1-1.
Congratulations.
That's it. It'd be funny if there was like, you know how baseball, obviously the Phils in 08 when game five was suspended because of
for 2 days or 3 days.
Yeah. And then came back and it was like the seventh or eighth inning. It'd be funny if... they go, okay, you got the timeout, and we just all have to go back to where exactly it was. Everyone warms up, and it goes like, okay, there's 38 seconds left. It's a 1-point game. Go. Start now. That'd be very funny. Fun, but that is not the world we live in. Filing a grievance for officiating in two games is loser shit.
Yeah.
But look, work the refs. Hopefully it benefits them in game three and four. Got to win both, obviously. Got to win both, got to stay healthy. It just feels like if you win this game, then you can maybe survive Joel needs a game off because the knee is bothering him too much type of thing. But your margin for error keeps getting smaller and smaller. And I really just need, whether it seems like Melton is unlikely, Covington seems out the door, but like I if he plays just these eight guys, I think that's
you
a real
mistake. You want to play Mo Bamba?
No, I would play Ricky Council or Campaign. I would get a little bit more on ball juice with Campaign. Obviously, he's going to get hunted defensively a little bit, but you can for 3 minutes. Can the game tilt in your favor for a little bit, rather than just kind of juicelessly walking the ball up the court and stuff? And obviously, I mean, the fact of the matter is he's probably not going to play Ricky Council. So me. Continuously every single podcast asking for Ricky Council he said he was going to it is a real no lose situation
for you
for me because they're probably not going to play him because he's a an undrafted rookie that they just moments ago upgraded to a full contract from a two-way. But I do think like he has some game-changing athleticism and the team needs it. And he has a lot of confidence. And I don't trust Buddy's confidence right now. And I don't trust Buddy's ability to shake free or anything. So give me something.
One quick thing. CJ, could you pop up? CJ, pretty legendary night in the chat.
Yeah, that's all my focus is on right now.
What's happening in the chat? You see, JC, I'm wearing the Scepter shirt.
It looks good. I noticed it after the filter and wanted to compliment it. Wasn't the time, but now
CJ wore a Scepter shirt on the Fly the Process, and so I was like, right, I'm going to get one. And I got
it. Oh, also, speaking of shirts.
Oh, cheese stick. Wait a
Hoagie
minute.
Mouth.
Hoagie Mouth
record, the Hoagie Mouth record shirt? Did Amos send you that or do you buy it?
No, I bought it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
My own beans, my own
big
cash.
Did Coven make you purchase it? Was it a threat?
No, I saw the tag, the comfort colors tag, and I was like, I gotta get it.
Amos using comfort colors?
Yeah.
Wow, he's learned from us.
Yeah.
So in the chat, clearly a lot of depressed Sixers fans. And if it was just Sixers fans, they would be fighting with each other. But there's also a high quantity, as we're used to, of when the Sixers no podcast in sports is more popular with the opposing team's fans when their team loses than this podcast. So a lot of Knicks fans in the chat as well.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Knicks fans in the chat. Your hot, smelly breath. I'm just very proud of you. Yeah, so we will talk to you Thursday night. Again, I think they're going to win on Thursday. I do not think the series is over. They're just like 2-0 and 3-0. So I can't believe Maxey didn't call timeout. It was on the ground. I can't believe he just passed it to Embiid to shoot it. Fuck was that? I think I've talked myself into being mad at Maxey instead of happy with Maxey.
I mean, he played great.
He has to shoot that ball at the end, though.
Of course
man.
He does.
Yeah.
Of course he does. These are all learning experiences you that know, in 25 to 30 years, this Sixers team will really be ready to make a playoff run.
I'm actually impressed there are so many Knicks fans in the chat that they don't have their second parade this week down Broadway. So we will talk to you Thursday night. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. You know, like this.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for Plan B.